Appreciate the prayer. I ask your continued interest in your prayers. We'll turn to Proverbs 3 this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. As Proverbs itself defines the Proverbs, these are dark sayings. Dark in the sense that by natural reasoning, we would never really understand or have an appreciation for them. But in the kingdom of God, they're very useful and very practical. And as we learn them and put them into practice, there can be a great blessing to us as we live our lives. Now, Proverbs chapter 3 is a wonderful chapter from the beginning to the end, although there's sections of it that seem to go together. And I really tried to just take a portion of it this morning that we would have time to deal with, perhaps. And so I'm going to try to deal with six verses. And it's hard to stop at any point in this psalm, in this proverb. But nevertheless, we're going to begin in verse 1. So let me just read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's wonderful counsel there, isn't there? More preaching there than we could do in a week, but want to try, if the Lord would bless us this morning, to deal with some of the thoughts that we find here in this portion of the book of Proverbs. These are not helpful hints from Heloise. It is God's eternal and enduring truths. Every time that we approach the Scripture, especially passages that we may not feel like we have a great deal of understanding, we should at least acknowledge that these are God's eternal truths. Whether we understand and appreciate them or not, it is God's word, and it is something that we need to lay to heart and reverence, and as best we can try to apply what it's telling us in our lives. Now, if we'll approach the word of God with that attitude, God will bless you with more understanding of it. But if we take a flippant attitude about, well, I can't see how that could be of any benefit, and cast it aside, you're going to get darkness for that. So these are God's eternal truths. You can just imagine David giving much of these proverbs and the wisdom to Solomon as he was growing up. You can just imagine Solomon being taught these things, but remember, this is the inspired word of God. Therefore, because it's the inspired word, it goes far beyond the wisdom of a parent. It goes to the wisdom of our heavenly Father, who is eternal in the heavens, who you're never going to teach him anything. He knows it all already. And so when we understand his word and what he's teaching us, then it will help us to receive it in just that way, that this is a God who doesn't need anybody to teach him anything because he knows all already. Listen to how it begins. My son, forget not my law. That law there is talking about something that's been taught and required. Not just by a parent, but this is something God teaches us through his word, and this is something God requires. And it's for our good, isn't it? All of God's word is for our good, to teach us and instruct us. We may be reading a portion of Scripture that we may not feel like has any application to us right now, but just wait a while. If the Spirit is impressed upon you and leading you to a certain passage, and you have an interest in a certain passage, if you feel like that it doesn't have any application to your life, then just wait around. The Spirit doesn't do anything in error. If there's You know, and I do that in studying the scriptures. There may be something that, I'll just share with you this particular passage. I thought about other passages and tried to study other passages throughout the week, but this one kept coming back to me. And so I trust the Spirit has something for us in this morning. Might not be verse 1, might be verse 6. It might be a passage that I'll go to on the other side of the Bible and read something that comes along with this, but there's something there for all of us. So when he says, my son, forget not my law, he's talking about something that has been taught and is required. Is that the way we view Scripture? It's required? You know, they're not suggestions. God, who knows all and who knows what is best for our individual case, can bless us with what we specifically need. It may be something that has a general application, but the Spirit can take it and make it really personal to you based upon your own circumstances right now. And so, again, these are not suggestions. Just like the Ten Commandments are not suggestions. They're the laws God gave that will be a great blessing. Wouldn't this world be in so much better shape if everybody observed the Ten Commandments? Well, there's a lot more in God's Word than just the Ten Commandments, isn't there? All right? So we'd be a whole lot better off if we understood those things. Now, not only is it taught and required, and again, think about a parent teaching the child the Scriptures. That's one thing. But not only is it just taught and required, but what is taught must be according to godliness. If we're going to get the blessings and the benefits from what is spoken of in these few verses. All right? So when we're talking about a parent teaching a child, we're talking about teaching godliness, teaching the Word of God to their children. As long as we're remembering that this is the inspired Word of God, then we have no problem understanding that what is being taught to us here through these verses are according to godliness. All right? So, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let thine heart keep my commandments. This is more than just head knowledge, isn't it? It's good that we know, and it's good that we remember the Word of God. That's necessary. That's a necessary part of keeping His law. Is first of all knowing it and having an understanding enough, that we can remember it. But when he speaks of our heart keeping the law of God, that's something far beyond what a parent can do for his child, isn't it? God has to open the heart. If that word is to be received in the heart, then it's something that God has to open. Now, we don't know just when God's going to do that work for our children. It might be at a very tender age. It might be later in life. But whatever it might be, it's God's work to do it. But God has taught parents that they are to teach their children. And we'll leave the consequences up to when God chooses to do His work. Okay? I have no problem believing that God does that work early in the life of many. Seems like I've seen others who it was late in life before they responded to God. And so whatever it is, He's sovereign in that work. But we as parents and we as teachers need to take the need to have the understanding that it's our responsibility to teach these things, and we'll leave it up to God as to when they'll become applicable to them have a great deal of impact upon them. But we need not think that a young child doesn't have the ability to understand the things of God. If he indeed has the Spirit. Now, I've seen many children who displayed a good level of understanding. Now, they may not be able to communicate it to you in the kind of language that we would like to hear. But if their heart rejoices at the singing of the hymns, if their heart rejoices at the gospel, then there's no reason that we shouldn't think that God hasn't touched that little heart. All right? So he says, keep my, I'm sorry, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now you remember Psalm 119, verse 11, don't you? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Wow. You mean the word of God can help us, can help us to avoid sin? Sure it can. That's why we need it in there. Because sin's already there, isn't it? And we need something to help us with that. All right, so the word of God is profitable in that way. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. If indeed we have that desire for the word of God to help us against sin, if we are sensible of our sins, then that means God has opened that heart. So we need to treasure up that word in there so that we can keep his commandments. Let thine heart keep thy commandments. Well, preacher, how do we know if we're treasuring up that heart? How do we know that we've got that word in our heart? Well, that's a good question. But let me just give you this to think about. We also find in Matthew 12, 34. Now that's a good reference, that's a good address to remember. Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. All right? The latter part of that verse says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What does that mean? Well, you start talking to somebody and you find out what they love to talk about. And you found their heart, haven't you? If they love to talk about that, you found what's near and dear to their heart. Is it the Word of God? Well, sad to say, a lot of times it's not. And there might be a lot, so much of that other stuff in there that it's crowding out the Word of God. You ever seen that happen? It happens to all of us. Do we know, if you remember the parable of the sower and the seed, or the soils and the Word of God? All right? When he comes to those, the seed that fell on thorny ground, do you remember what he said about those thorns? Those thorns grew up and it choked out the word so that it brought no fruit to perfection. The things of the world can crowd into our hearts and choke out the effect of the word of God. That's not we want. That's not what we want as God's people. What we want as God's people is for that word to be treasured up in our heart so that it will crowd out other things of this world. That's what we need. That's how we can treasure up the word of God in our heart. That's how he says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Look at, I gave you Matthew 12, 34. Look at how he puts it in Luke 6, 45. Luke 6, verse 45. I tried to spare you a little bit of page turning, but I just go into this one. Luke 6, verse 45. A good man, Luke 6, 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. Remember what how Matthew put it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We speak about those things that are abundant in our heart. All right? So he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. If you want to find out where somebody's heart is, just talk to them a little bit and find out what they love to talk about. That'll be a real good indication. And the reason it's a good indication is because it's founded upon Scripture. All right? So the admonition is, let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, it's not just a matter of remembering them. It's keeping them. Is there a difference? Sure. We can remember it all day long and not do it. But if we're going to keep the commandments of God, then we have to be mindful of them, to observe them, and to do them. In other words, to obey them. And this lesson is taught from cover to cover in the Bible, isn't it? All right? So the admonition is, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It's Colossians 3:23, New Testament. The Apostle Paul speaks about how that whatsoever we do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. We understand that, don't we? Do it heartily. You ever had somebody say, put your heart into it? When you're doing something, you know, quite often we have to teach our children, when we're teaching them how to do something or to work and whatever, they may not really have their heart into it. They may be doing at it, but not really getting the job done, and you might have to say something like, put your heart into it. Well, you know what that means, don't you? It means do it in such a way that you'll accomplish what needs to be done. Do it heartily. Well, if our heart is in something to do it, usually we put forth more effort, don't we? Usually we'll find a way to get it done if it's in our heart to do it. But if it's not in our heart, it kind of falls by the wayside, doesn't it? It kind of falls to the end of the list. And quite often, if it's at the end of the list, it never gets done, does it? Because lists have a way other things moving to the top. And just because it's the end of the list doesn't mean it always gets there. Something else could come along. So, when the admonition from Scripture is he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Then you have to realize that if it's not in our heart to do something, it may not get done. So we need to apply ourselves to the Word of God and listen to what He's telling us. And notice what He says will be the great benefit if we will do that. All right, verse 2. For length of days and long life. Is that two different things? Length of days and long life? Well, why does he have to say both? Well, sometimes folks live a long time. Sometimes they don't. But sometimes folks who don't live a long time, their memory lives a long time. Have you ever known some good folks who didn't live very long in this world? And somehow they made an impact. And their memory can live on and on and on. Wouldn't you want your memory to live on? Wouldn't you want folks to remember you for good? Wouldn't you want folks to remember you as a loving person who loved God and wanted to do what was right and tried to help people when they could? I've known folks like that. It just didn't seem to, you know, just breaks your heart when those kind of folks go home to be with the Lord before the rest of us, whatevers, that has to stay around a long time. You know? For length of days and long life. Now, there's a promise in the Scriptures that, you know, honor your father and your mother, that you may live long upon the earth. You know, that's the first commandment with promise, wasn't it? And I've seen cases of that, folks that live over 100 years old and listen to the story about their life and how they honored their father and mother. And I could just sit there and say, yep, well, that just bears out the truth of Scripture. Okay. Of course, we live in a fallen world and bad things happen to good folks. But nevertheless, we find the Scriptures, when it states a principle like that, there may be exceptions to it, but you can count on the rule that God gives us in His Word that if we honor our father and mother, we'll be blessed for it. And so here he's saying, if we forget not his law, he says, but keep thine heart, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life, and peace. Well, we enjoy peace in this world, don't we? What a blessing. If you've ever had to live through a period of time where there wasn't peace, you know the difference. And you cherish the difference. And we ought to be guarding the peace, especially in God's house and among God's people. We need to be guarding that peace and cherishing that peace and rejoicing in it. And the best way to do that is to keep His commandments, to follow what we've been taught, that which is according to godliness, and do that which would be pleasing unto the Lord. Certainly, we understand that there are those who are blessed to live many years in this life. And if we follow God's word and do those things, then we can expect to enjoy that. But there's nothing better than the promise we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He gives unto us eternal life. And so for whatever days we have upon this earth, if we honor Him and follow His word and do that which is pleasing in His sight, no matter how many days we have here, we have all eternity to spend with our Lord and His family that He's redeemed by His precious blood. Oh, think about that and the blessings that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. So He says, for length of days, long life, peace shall they add to thee. All right? Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. I love mercy, don't you? I love God's truth. Is it going to run away from us sometime? No, God is faithful. But there is a way that those things can forsake us. The first thing that comes to mind is Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. You remember Jonah, don't you? Lots of things we remember about Jonah, particularly that he was swallowed by a whale. All right, now I know that men say, you know, that's just not possible. But doesn't the Old Testament say that the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah? Is God able to do that? Is God able to prepare a great fish that could swallow a man? Sure He could. He could have swallowed Goliath if God had wanted him to. All right? So that's no problem for God to do that. All right, but why did that fish swallow Jonah? Was it for Jonah's disobedience? Was it for Jonah running away or trying to run away from the Lord? God clearly called him and gave him a message and told him what He wanted him to do. What did Jonah do? He ran the other way. He tried to get away from it. Do you think that's going to be blessed? When somebody does that, do you think they're going to be blessed for that? No, I don't think so either. As a matter of fact, that's the whole lesson of Jonah. All right? A lot of things that we learn from Jonah, but mainly we find that God clearly gave Jonah a message of him to go and preach to Nineveh, and he chose to go the other way. He chose to do something else. And so we find that he went down and bought him a ticket to what? Joppa? Went down to Joppa, paid the fare, bought him a ticket, got in the ship, went down in the ship. Notice the principle there. Whenever Jonah's running from the Lord, he's going down, down, down. Is that a faithful principle? Sure it is. All right? So... And the last place that Jonah went down to was down into that whale, wasn't it? Or at least after he got in the whale, after they cast him overboard, the whale swallowed Jonah and the whale went down. You may be saying, now, preacher, the Old Testament says great fish, doesn't say a whale. Jesus called him a whale in the New Testament, so you could say either one. And you'll be right. That great fish was a whale that Jesus referred to in the New Testament. All right, so he went down. And when he was in the whale's belly, Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. Do you know what Jonah concluded? Evidently, he was conscious. Evidently, God provided a way that when Jonah was swallowed by that whale, he was conscious of what was going on. And you know what Jonah concluded? They that observe lying vanities, verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Do you know you can do that too? You could forsake your own mercies by not doing what God has told us to do in His Word. We can forsake our own mercies. We can forfeit many blessings that we could have had in this life. We can have trouble instead of blessing if we're going away from the Lord and doing those things that are contrary to His Word. So, coming back to verse 3 now of Proverbs chapter 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. In other words, through your own stubbornness, through your own disobedience, you can cause mercy and truth to flee from you. How can truth flee from you? Well, if you start believing a lie, you know, they that observe lying vanities. Jonah thought that he'd do just fine if he just went the other way. Jonah thought that he could get away from God and do what he wanted to do. But he found out differently. He found out that was a lie. Lying vanities. No benefit whatsoever from those vanities. All right? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. We can do the same thing today. We can think that we can turn away from God and go the other way and do other things that's contrary to godliness and think that we'll just do just fine. But I'm afraid we'll find that we, like Jonah, will go down, down, down. Until we come to ourselves and understand, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Oh, may we not forsake our own mercies. May we not forsake the truth. But may we do as he said in verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And there's great blessings and great benefits from doing just that. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. In other words, keep it where you can see it. Keep it where it's close to your heart, your mind. Keep it where we'll remember and understand what he's talking about. Let's notice a couple of verses. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Let's just get verse 33. I could quote at these, but I want to get the meat of it. In Psalm 89, as you, the caption at the top of my page says, the mercies, the great mercies of God. And in this Psalm, we're finding many things being spoken of here as God's mercies. Let me just back up. 33 is what I really want, but let me back up a few verses. Verse 28, my mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments. Now, we've already read from the first verse of Psalm, Proverbs 3. We read there where he's telling us not to do that. But he says, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, verse 33, notice this, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. If you've got a marginal reference there, you may have that saying that the translator said that could also have been rendered lie. Nor suffer my faithfulness to lie. The point is, God is faithful. If he's told us that there's something that will bless us, if we'll do those things, we will be blessed. And if he's told us that we'll be chastised with many stripes if we don't do those things, and then go and not do those things, then we will be chastised, won't we? Because that's the way God's word is. It is faithful to us. Nevertheless, he's faithful. He is faithful. Now I'll tell you something. The earlier in life we can lay that to heart, the earlier in life we understand that that is a principle that we can trust in our God, that he is faithful, then as we treasure up this word and as we have tried to apply our lives to it, and bless your hearts, we can count on the Lord keeping what he says he will do. Now, isn't that wonderful? We're living in a world that's changing drastically. Our culture's changing. Economic things are changing. You know, people used to could get a job and work at 20 years or 30 years and retire and have a pension. You know, that's almost unheard of anymore. Things are just so different. You can't trust things to be tomorrow what they are today. Now, that's not God's fault. If we as God's people were following what he says and honoring him as a nation, this nation would be blessed and blessed. You know, and I doubt seriously there's ever been a time that this nation has wholesale been following the Lord and honoring him, but there's been enough of God's people that have been faithful to him and doing what his word says that he was pleased to bless them, and they have been a great blessing to this nation. God is faithful. We're not nearly as faithful to him, never will be, as he is to us. But we can trust God's faithfulness. His faithfulness will not fail. It will not lie. All right? So let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, commit them to memory. Commit it to memory. Isn't it a blessing sometimes that you, if you get stuck in a place where you're just going to have to wait, and we love to wait, don't we? But you get in one of those places where you have to wait for a while and you don't have your whatever you need with you, perhaps. If you could just recall a verse of Scripture and start meditating upon it, I tell you what, it'll relieve a lot of stress from this life. It'll help you tremendously. God's word tells us, write it upon the table of thine heart. Commit it to memory. And I've lived long enough now that I realize that the sooner you start at that and committing those things to memory, the better off you are. Life has a way of just crowding things out of your mind, doesn't it? Somebody said this morning, you know, if we don't write it down, we forget. I know that's true. That's a faithful principle. All right? But God's word tells you, write it upon the table of your heart. I tell you, if you commit those things of God's principles, his word, if you commit that to your heart, write it on the table of your heart, you'll get blessing upon blessing in the days ahead because of it. It'll be such a blessing to you. Do you believe that? I hope the youngest one here can believe that. I hope the oldest one here can believe that, because it is the truth. God is faithful, and he blesses us in for storing up his word, observing his word, remembering his word, meditating upon his word. All of these things are great blessings to us. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So shalt thou find favor. Anybody here would like to walk in favor with God? Now, you're never ever going to get God indebted to you. But it gets back to what we just talked about. God is faithful. If he tells us to walk in his word and we walk in his word, he will bless us. He will help us. Oh, how much better. You know, when Jonah was running for the Lord, would you say he was walking in favor with God? No. Just the opposite, right? Okay. And Jonah might not be a good one to even ask about when it was that he walked in favor with God. You know, he got his mind changed for him, didn't he? But that rascal, even at the end of that book, we find him being mad with God. All right? But God did use him. And even somebody like that, the Lord Jesus Christ, used him to represent what he would do when he would be crucified and rise again. Remember, even Jesus said, "For us, there shall no sign be given you but that of the prophet Jonah." First time I ever really took note of what that was saying, I scratched my head. Said, how in the world could Jonah give a sign of the Lord Jesus Christ being raised from the dead? But there it is. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights. It wasn't Jonah's activity. Jesus wasn't referring to how good Jonah was, and he wasn't referring to all the things that he did. It's just what happened to him. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And that is the extent of the sign. But he would use somebody like Jonah to give us such a glorious sign. All right? So shalt thou find favor. Oh, we can find many in scriptures who found favor with the Lord, can't we? You know, the first one that comes to mind is Joseph. And Joseph did what he was told to do. He honored God with his life, and God was with him. Why, even Potiphar observed that everything that he set his hand to do, God blessed it. Even Potiphar recognized that God was with Joseph. Can God, folks say that about your life? I would love to someday get to that place where folks could remember me for something like that. To be in favor with God. So shalt thou, if we do those things, as he's already said in these first three verses, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. What does God see? He sees it all, doesn't he? So in the sight of God, when he sees it all, if we're trying to do what's pleasing unto him, he knows our frame. He knows that we're just dust. But he's merciful to us. He's gracious to us. And if we're trying to do his will, he'll bless us for it. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now with man, it's different, isn't it? God looks upon the heart. God knows what he's done to that heart. With man, we have to judge works and fruit, don't we? All right? And we have to be careful, you know, not to sit too much in judgment. But when we see good works and when we understand and we recognize what good works are, we can glorify God for that, can't we? All right? So if we follow the Lord, if we're seeking the Lord, doing what the Lord has told us to do, then we'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. These are simple principles that are being given to us from the Word of God in the book of Proverbs. And sometimes it may be a phrase, sometimes it may be a verse. There may be two verses in the Proverbs that are closely related to give us this principle. But here we're talking about someone that will be blessed of the Lord for following his word. And he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord. Now, I understand in the Old Testament, they kept the law, they did what God told them to do, and if they did those things with understanding, God would bless them. We have many examples in the Old Testament. But I submit to you that it's a whole lot easier for us on this side of Calvary to think about what God has done for us. because he sent his son into this world who suffered and died to redeem us from our sins. In my own feeble way of thinking, that ought to make it a lot easier for us to remember to trust in the Lord because of his great works that he's done for us. You just think about all that Christ accomplished for us. We have acceptance with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He shed his own blood to redeem us from our sins. He put away our sins. We're justified through his blood. We're made righteous in him. We have a standing before God. We're a part of the family, being adopted into the family by the grace of God. We could just keep going on and on and on of thinking about how wonderfully blessed we are simply by Christ coming into this world and suffering and dying in our room instead. We don't have to go any farther than that. And yet we can go farther than that, can't we? God watches over us and provides for us each day. He protects us. Why is there any reason at all not to trust the Lord? No. No reason whatsoever. If all you did was to spend some time from time to time just meditating upon that one thought, why should we trust in the Lord? If indeed God has opened your heart, if indeed he's blessed you to know him and to love him, if God has blessed you with that love and that ability to love him, then spend some time thinking about all the many reasons we have to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, it's easy for us to look at that admonition and say, well, I've failed so many times to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Well, my persuasion in this verse is he's not speaking so much of the strength of the effort as he is the sincerity that's in the heart. Do you sincerely want to love God, love his people, follow his word, and do what's pleasing in his sight? He'll bless that. He'll bless that. As a matter of fact, when we diligently seek him, he rewards us, doesn't he? Hebrews 11:6. We're quoted all the time. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when the admonition is to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, he says, and here's the other side to that. We have all the reasons in the world to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then the other part of that that needs to go along with it is, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Do you know that gets you in trouble just about as much as anything? Trying to lean on your own understanding. Trying to claim that we've got the answers. Trying to claim that we know what's best. Trying to claim that we've got a better way. You know, I guess Jonah thought he had a better way. The Lord showed him, didn't he? All right? But he says, lean not to thine own understanding. I want to give you some passages here that tells us about the folly of doing just that, leaning on your own understanding. Go to Jeremiah 17:5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. We could spend some time here, but listen to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now, weren't we talking about, and lean not into thine own understanding? All right. Well, Jeremiah says here, the problem with leaning to your own understanding, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. That's strong language, isn't it? But it couldn't be any more true. Cursed be the man, especially if God has already blessed you to understand why we should trust him. He says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. In other words, trusting in what he can do or what he can get others to help him do. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now the thrust of the admonition here is, he says, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. If it hadn't ever been there, it couldn't depart, could it? So he's talking about disobedient children of God who decide that they want to look at other things in this world and trust things in this world instead of trusting God. What did he say the result of that would be? Cursed. Cursed. Well, we certainly don't want that, do we? And then he goes on speaking about so much more in regard to that. Psalm 118, verse 8. I think we covered this not long ago and made reference to it. Psalm 118, verse 8. I have a Nelson Bible, and that Nelson Bible says this is the middle verse of the Bible. Maybe yours does too, whether it's a Nelson or not. I haven't counted them. I'll just have to trust what Nelson says. But in Psalm 118, verse 8, he says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Have you found that to be true? At some point, people will let you down. At some point, man, and it may be intentional. It may be that they don't really care that much for you and didn't put too much into their promise that they made to you. It might simply be an oversight. It might simply be a limitation that they have. And it simply might be that circumstances change beyond their control. But whatever, pick whichever one you want to, people can let you down. None of that applies to the Lord. God loves us more than anyone. God has more invested in us than anyone because God sent his own son to this world to die in our room instead. Jesus shed his own blood to redeem us from our sins. He loves us beyond anyone else's love. And so he's faithful. He cannot lie. He cannot deny himself. There's no way God. There's no circumstance that's beyond God's wisdom and knowledge. And so we find that God can never be charged with doing what man will do in letting us down because God is faithful. There's other scriptures, but I think that'll suffice. I'm running out of time. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he might. Thank you. I missed that one. And he shall direct thy paths. Now I want to dwell on this for a second. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Has God blessed you today? Have you thanked him for it? We need to acknowledge God's blessings upon us every day we live and say, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings upon us. Has God had mercy upon you today? I'd say that's one of your greatest blessings. Then thank him for it, for he's the one that provided it to you. He didn't have to, but out of his goodness and out of his mercy, he has provided those things for you. Thank the Lord. Be grateful to him. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge all that he does for us each day. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. Get this now. This is a way of life. This is not a Sunday morning event. This is a way of life. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. You know, one of the faithful principles that we need to remember is that whatever we set our hand to do, whatever we pursue in life, if we can ask the Lord to bless us in what we're doing, and we can feel good about doing it, then we ought to do it with all our might. But when you ask the Lord to bless you and you feel condemned in doing it, you better leave it off. Now, isn't that simple? But isn't it true? Isn't it profound? That's the way the Spirit leads us in this life. All right? There's a feeling of blessing when we pursue things that are pleasing to the Lord because it's pleasing to His Spirit within us. And there's things that condemns us when we do that which is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit is the first witness against those things. God has given it to us as wisdom so that we can listen to it. We may not understand all the ramifications of why, but if we can follow the leadership of the Spirit and do those things that He is pleased to bless us in doing and avoid those things that He chooses to condemn us over, we'll do well. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That ought to be a part of everything we do in life. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Time's about gone, but I want to give you a practical illustration. And I don't have time to go through the whole story, so I may have to hit some high spots. But when he's talking about in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We've already mentioned Joseph. We could talk about how Joseph followed the Lord. And God blessed him. Joseph was mindful of what was good and what was evil. And when Potiphar's wife wanted him to do something that was evil, he said, "How shall I do this thing and sin against God?" He knew it was wrong and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. Okay? So we could talk about Joseph for a while. We could talk about David. David acknowledging the Lord. When David was about to go out against Goliath, remember that? And his brother accused him of having an impure motive. And he said, "Is there not a cause?" David, as a young boy, understood that the armies of Israel were, or God was being blasphemed because the armies of Israel were being held at bay by one uncircumcised Philistine. God blessed David in many ways. We could go to King Jehoshaphat. Remember King Jehoshaphat? He was one of the last of the good kings that reigned over Judah. And there were a great host that came out against them one time. And it said Jehoshaphat feared. Well, when the king is fearful, that's a serious time, isn't it? But it's what he did after that that shows us how faithful he was. He feared and he set his heart to seek the Lord. And he prayed. And he proclaimed a fast. And they begged God for direction. And God sent word, "This is not your battle. You won't even have to fight." One of the songs we sang this morning talked about he sent confusion into the army. That's exactly what God did. When they turned their heart to seek his face and when they acknowledged that he was their protector, he was their defender, he was the one that had to save them because they had no power, no might against that mighty host. God sent confusion among his enemy and they fought against one another and killed each other. And all God's people had to do was go in and take the spoil. Isn't that wonderful? Don't we have the same God today? Can't he do the same thing today against our enemies? Sounds like to me we need to be setting our heart to him and praying to him, seeking his face, and in all our ways acknowledging him that he would direct our paths. But I want to notice something in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Thought about this during the Gulf Coast meeting. This was mentioned. I would encourage you after church to go home and read some of this. But in 2 Chronicles 32, the king of Judah in that day was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the good kings that Judah had. The king Sennacherib of the Assyrian army was coming against him. And let's see, let's just begin in verse 1. I have to hasten on with this. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains of the brook and ran through and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying. Now, pause right there. I've read a multitude of things that Hezekiah did in preparation for this battle. You might say, well, it sounds like to me he's trusting in flesh. He's trusting in himself. No, we're going to get to this next verse. It's going to tell us about what he did in the way of his great trust. But it didn't keep him from being prepared for the battle. Now, that's a lesson we need to learn today. Yes, we can pray, God help us. But he's already told us some things that we need to be doing. He's given us some armor that we need to be put on. And he's told us how we need to be standing against the wiles of Satan. Not in our own strength, but prepared. Prepared for battle. And that's exactly what Hezekiah did. He did what he could in the way of preparation. But his trust was going to be in the Lord. Does that sound like good counsel today? Absolutely. All right. So verse 8 says, all right, let me back up a little bit and read again. Verse 7, I stopped at 6, didn't I? All right, he spake comfortably to his people, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there is more with us than with him. Now, that's another one of those occasions where I'm sure there was folks looking around and thinking, wait a minute. But who's with them? The Lord. If the Lord's with us, it's a majority, isn't it? It doesn't matter how many are with him. God showed us that in his word many times. I mentioned 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat. There was a great host of people that came against them. God just caused them to fight it themselves. They didn't even have to fight. If it pleases God, he can deliver us in whatever way he wants to. All right, so there's more with us than with him. That's what Hezekiah reminded the people. Verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. When it says the people rested, that means, according to my margin here, and the alternate rendering could have been trusted. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Hezekiah said, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, there's a lot of good reading here. I don't have time for it. But this king, Sennacherib, sent word and reminded the people that he had defeated all the other nations around about them. And all those other nations around about them was trusting in their God. And that was no match for King Sennacherib. He defeated every one of them. Their gods were no match for him. And he tried to cause God's people to turn away from the true and living God, wherein is their help, and trust in something else. Do you hear much of that today? It's bombarding us on every side. I've never seen a time when Christianity is being more assaulted than it is today in our culture. I know it's happened in other places, but it's only going to get worse. We need to prepare ourselves for battle. But the greatest preparation of all is to trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. I don't care how the enemy reasons. I don't care how logical that may seem. Doesn't care how much success they've had in the past. Trust in the Lord. That's where our help is. That's where our safety is. That's where our blessings will be, is trusting in the Lord. Let's see. Like I said, I don't have time to go through this, but notice verse 22. By the way, God did fight for them. He did defeat them. And when the leaders of the army rose up, all the soldiers that were going to be fighting against Israel, they were all dead. God did fight for them. So this king had to turn around and go home. And when he got home, some of his own family slew him as he went into his temple to worship his false god. But here's what I want. Verse 22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them, listen to this, and guided them on every side. God's good at that. He's not finished doing that either. He will continue to do that. What did he say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? He shall direct thy paths. Just like he guided Hezekiah and those in his day, he guided them on all, them on every side. Brethren, we have the same God. He's just as able today as he ever has been. May we trust in him. May we serve him. May we do that which is pleasing. And forsake not truth, mercy and truth. Don't forsake those things. But bless your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. This is a wonderful biblical truth. It's not hard to understand. May God help us to apply those things that we do know and serve him faithfully and trust in him, and we'll be blessed. May God help us to gain a renewed appreciation for these simple truths that God has taught us in his word. Put them to practice. Try the Lord and see if he won't pour out a blessing that we don't have room to receive. May God bless you is our prayer.